5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at you.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Hello, America, and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. We are so excited to be here to begin another busy broadcasting week of excellence for you. If you're new, Wendy Bell Radio Network app, follow along on the live stream. Join us on Newsmax's free platform, N2, on your TVs to see the final 2 hours of the show. The Wendy Bell Radio podcast, you're always welcome to get that. 2 million people and counting already have. We're just delighted, no matter how you find us, that you keep coming on back. Because we believe in common sense conservative values. That is what we serve up 5 days a week. Welcome to each of you. Welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. I don't turn it off over the weekend. We're always looking for stories, always staying aware of what's going on, paying attention to the trends, staying on top of social media. And there was a video that popped up in one of my news feeds that hit me yesterday morning at about 5 a.m. And I was not prepared for it, and I had not seen it. In fact, it was from 2021 because I started doing some research on it. And I started watching it the first time with the volume down. And it's somebody driving in what looks like a truck on a very barren landscape. Looks like the southern border. Has to be Texas, Arizona, something like that. And the person behind the wheels driving, holding the phone, showing the view in front of them as this little figure shows up on the horizon. As the truck gets ever closer to it, it's a little boy. And he was walking all by himself. And you know that cry that you cry when it's uncontrollable and you can't stop it. And it's like that. It was a little boy, 10 years old. Who'd been left behind all by himself by the cartels or whomever he had walked across wherever with. And he was alone in a barren landscape with no one around him as far as he could see. And desperately sees the truck, comes over to it and says, "Please, I'm scared. I don't know where they went. I'm all by myself. I'm worried they're going to come. They're going to hurt me. They're going to kidnap me. And I'm so scared. I lost it." Now it's in Spanish, so there are subtitles. And I was sitting there reading this. He could be anybody's son. He could be mine. He could be yours. Left all by himself. But it was his face and the panic and the fear in his eyes. And it was just too much. And it haunted me all day long. And I had to go outside And I had to work in the yard, pick up sticks. I mean, stupid, I'm picking up sticks. Because I can't shake it. This is what they've done. This is what these people who claim to be all about fairness and justice and equity and peace and opportunity, it's all garbage. It's all garbage. And little boys like that are the collateral damage. And who even knows what happened to him on his way here? And the thing that kills me is that for all the problems that we have in this country, all of these things that are spiraling out of control, that are tenuous, we have a new call now from the global jihadi faction of suck in the world during Ramadan to crank up the heat and to start doing things in our country against us. As haywire as all of that is, the little boy's parents, whatever they were going through, wherever he's from, and I think it's Honduras, it was worse. They were willing to roll the dice on their child to have him come to this country by himself. What are we doing? And I would be lying to you if I didn't think about that little boy last night. Six of the seven of us, our last son still in college, comes home in a couple months. The six of us went out for dinner for our oldest son's birthday. We went to a hibachi restaurant, steakhouse, where they cook right in front of you. It's the one place we all love, can agree on anything on the menu, and it seems like no matter what, the minute we sit down, it's just fun. We get out of the car, and I purposefully linger a little bit. Some problem with my car. The boys start walking in because sometimes I just like to walk behind them all. I like to see these creatures that are part of me. And they're tall and they're strong and they're handsome and they're funny and they're smart. And sometimes I don't have words to describe it. I just watch. And sometimes they'll catch me and they'll be like, "Ooh, what's wrong with you?" And I'm like, "You have no idea how much I love you." And to think about that little boy. How many of those children are now missing in our country? And every single day, we have the same clowns standing before us telling us, no, this isn't a problem. No, this is the Republicans' fault if it is a problem. Ah, this is Donald. Look, I don't care whose freaking fault it is. Fix the damn problem. No more. How about the video with the Texas rancher? Did you guys see that on your social media feed? A guy who's a fourth generation Texas rancher. 10 miles of his property is along the border. 6 of those miles have wall built. 4 do not. He's up to 17 dead bodies found on his property. 17. And he detailed a big tree on his property that he calls the rape tree, because so many of the cartels have raped women and children there. And they leave an article of clothing on the branches as almost a trophy of every conquest. What are we doing? What are we doing? And in other headlines today, we have crazy things going on. There's a huge fire in Texas. More than 1 million acres already burned. 10 million cattle in the line of this fire. We have another train derailment. How many more do we have to go? And we have an administration that wants us to believe that no, everything is great. They're doing everything that they can. Friends, we are living through a chapter of American ineptitude, the likes of which I don't even know if I can describe. I feel. And I can taste it. When I look at that boy. And he's the one who made it. Who was found. What about all the others? We are in a real struggle as human beings. It's not just as a country. It's as humanity. And it goes way deeper than exterior qualities. It's not dependent on your skin. It's not dependent on your zip code or how you vote. It is a true battle of good versus evil. And the most innocent and precious among us are being swept up as the collateral damage. And this administration refuses to admit that. Today, we're going to walk through several of these stories. It's important to know exactly who is saying what, on what side of pivotal issues people stand. Because for me, it took one little boy to look at this crisis in a deeper way. It's not just an invasion of people who are bogging down our resources and putting a lot of us in strange positions. It's little children. And if we can't get behind that, and we can't protect them, then what are we? We are nothing. When we come back, this is the eve of a big political day in this country, Super Tuesday. Some big things over the weekend we need to talk about. We'll get on track and on that political mindset. But under every story is the memory of that little boy and what we're really fighting for. You're dialed into the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Back after this. So we got some new polling out, and the polls are interesting. You know how I feel about it. It is a great gauge of where people are, but I don't believe in them. I wouldn't bank on them. I certainly wouldn't bet on them. But the New York Times has put Donald Trump ahead with his biggest lead yet. And I think it's all the swing states, and I think he's but like plus five nationally, which is remarkable. But I need you to hear this, because this is how they spin the story. And it's interesting when you start paying attention to how the media manipulate the news to create the illusion of whatever the uniparty is asking for, because it's propaganda. So it's not that Joe Biden is incompetent. It's not that every single thing that his fingers touch turns to crap, right? It's not the steady, predictable decline in our way of life, in what we view as life as Americans. It's just because he's unpopular. Trump is doing well because Joe Biden is unpopular. Not that Trump's policies from 17 to 20, you know, were great. It's not that. It's that Joe Biden is just very unpopular. I want you to hear this. Big change between the 2020 and 2024 races. The New York Times headline says today, Joe Biden is unpopular. Really? Donald Trump has the largest national lead in a New York Times poll since first running for president in 2015. And I'm just going to read to you the first like four paragraphs, just so you know, this is how they present you the news. And then they scratch their head. What? Why are subscribers going down? Why is nobody watching our news product anymore? What's going on? Because we're so on to you and we're so tired of what you do to manipulate. So this is the New York Times. This is a Times Siena poll showing Donald Trump biggest lead since 2015. And it starts with this. Let's just say it. Joe Biden should be expected to win this election. He's an incumbent president running for re-election with a reasonably healthy economy against an unpopular opponent accused of multiple federal crimes. Well, that's factually, first of all, yes, it's correct about the crimes that he's accused of, federal crimes. But he is not even remotely unpopular. See, this is going to be the narrative that they're going to try now that Nikki Haley, we're going to talk about her coming up in the next segment. She's finally gotten her first win. Her first win, shocker, shocker, in D.C. Is anybody surprised by this? No, it was like hundreds of people who voted. So what? They're going to try to spin this again and again and again. Donald Trump isn't actually able to beat Joe Biden, but Nikki Haley is. Well, we'll hit the brakes on that, ladies and gentlemen. Yet Biden is not winning, this says, at least not now. Polls show him trailing in states worth well over 270 electoral votes. And today, he lags Donald J. Trump in our newest New York Times Siena College national poll by 5 percentage points among registered voters. 48 to 43. What they're not telling you is that's giant, giant. It's not Joe Biden's unpopularity. It is his destruction of these United States. Largest lead Trump has ever had in a Times Siena College poll. In fact, it's the largest lead he's had in a Times Siena poll since 2015. Why is President Biden losing? Well, there are many possible reasons, it says, including his age, the war in Gaza, the border, lingering concerns over inflation. Ultimately, they add up to something very simple. Mr. Biden is very unpopular. He's so unpopular, he's now even less popular than Mr. Trump, who remains every bit as unpopular as he was 4 years ago. Now, I find this narrative very funny because what they won't bring up is any of the issues that Joe Biden faces with his crime family syndicate. They won't bring up all of the millions of dollars. They won't bring up all of the loan repayment checks. They won't bring up the whistleblowers, the testimony. They won't bring up any of the facts about the suspicious activity reports, all of the shell companies, the nine Biden family members who've gotten relatively wealthy thanks to Joe and Hunter and James Biden. Well, now, why wouldn't you do that? Of course, everyone knows what is going on. President Biden's unpopularity, it says, has flipped the expected dynamic of this election. It's turned what looked like a seemingly predictable rematch into a race with no resemblance to the 2020 election, when Mr. Biden was a broadly appealing candidate. Did you guys get that broadly appealing candidate vibe out of Joe Biden whatsoever? Because what I remember is the dude stayed in the basement because they knew well, even then, about his dementia. They kept him under wraps. They bubble wrapped him. They protected him. And then when time came for the election, they ballot harvested like freaking Olympic champions. That is the difference. Overall, 19% of registered voters in the Times Siena survey have an unfavorable view of both candidates. It's a group sometimes referred to as double haters. Listen to the narrative begin to unfold about this next chapter. Nikki Haley ain't going anywhere. Tomorrow's Super Tuesday, right? Tomorrow she's going to get clobbered. She's going to be asked about that pledge. When it was clear that you had no path to victory, you had to sign a pledge that said, hey, I will support and I will endorse. I will get behind whomever the nominee that the party chooses is. She signed that. She will not abide by that because the dark money, the uniparty, the establishment, the DC elite, the swamp creatures, the beltway, all of it, plus Democrats, will drag her through as long as it takes. All the while, painting Donald Trump as old and unfavorable and distasteful and nobody wants him. But it's so funny that over here on this other side, I see Trump leads Biden among Hispanics. Registered voters overall. Did you know that 46% of Hispanics polled over the weekend say they want Donald Trump? So there is a moment of truth these people in the media are going to have to come to grips with, because the narrative isn't going to hold for long. It's not going to age well, because this plan, right, that we're a part of is full steam ahead. When we come back, let's talk about some of the voices about the news. You got to hear about, oh boy, we'll dial you into the stories of the day coming up next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So today's idea in your mind for today's theme, if you will, is shackled and chained. There's a lot going on in this country right now, in this administration, that is based on optics, right? There are a lot of things that can be accomplished without a lot of show, without pomp and circumstance without the SWAT team, the FBI rolling in hot in the middle of the night to shake you down at your house. There's nuance, there's a correct way to do things, and then there's this administration's way of doing things. It is punitive. It is meant to be embarrassing. It is meant to create the illusion of discrediting someone. And unfortunately, it works for some people because they are woefully ill-informed. They are products of drive-by headlines. They are the disciples of CNN, the Washington Post. They get a very biased viewpoint. And every day that we do this program, we are opening the door to chip away at that audience and say, you know what? Maybe you've been wrong. Because everywhere I look around this administration, there is incompetence. Let's just talk off the top of our heads, shall we? We have Pete Buttigieg as the Department of Transportation Secretary. Where is Pete Buttigieg as another Norfolk Southern train derails? Because we've got some details about the calamitous epidemic of train derailments. As the CEOs of these companies get pay raises to the millions and millions of dollars. Right? Let's talk about Jennifer Granholm, Secretary of Energy, embroiled in the very beginning of this Biden administration with Proterra, the electric bus company that the Biden administration gave billions of our dollars to, which then folded and filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. She was an investor, of course, in this company. And there was question, you know, lots of questions about how much money she made on that. Miguel Cardona, Secretary of Education. What the hell is going on with our educational system, ladies and gentlemen? Are we knocking it out of the park? Are you feeling like your kids or the kids in your neighborhood are getting a world-class education? We're not a world-class country. We're not. It is America in decline. And it just keeps getting worse. And so Nikki Haley thinks this is her time. She's going to step forward. She got bad intel. But there's always an establishment candidate. Whether it's Mitt Romney, John McCain, who cares? It's always somebody. There's always somebody that the Uniparty puts up as a candidate. And usually that person has won. There's a reason why George Bush was president. There's a reason his dad was president. And then there was a reason that Donald Trump was elected. Because we started to see what was going on. And we awakened. Nikki Haley has won the District of Columbia's Republican primary. This sounds like big news, right? Wow. This is major. Really, it's not. Headline from the Post-Gazette, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Nikki Haley has won the District of Columbia's Republican primary. Her first victory of the 2024 campaign. Now you look at that and you're like, wow, somebody voted for this woman? Well, let's see how many people. Washington is one of the most heavily Democratic jurisdictions in the nation. Here we go. 23,000 registered Republicans in the city. 23,000 registered Republicans in a community of 680,000. Okay. All right. So she wins what? She gets 1,267 votes. That's how few people turned out to vote. To Donald Trump's 676. Big news, ladies and gentlemen. Nikki Haley, man, she is moving forward. No, she's not. I want to go over some of the highlights of the weekend because tomorrow is Super Tuesday. It is a big day. We're expecting a Supreme Court ruling today, an expedited drop. They're going to make a decision on whether or not Colorado, Maine, Hawaii, any of these cities or states rather, can ban Donald Trump, can keep his name off of the ballot. We're expecting some kind of a conclusion, a decision by the high court today. But obviously their objective to embarrass us about Trump, to make us feel shameful. Donald Trump has all these indictments, all these criminal charges. All you need to do is step back and be like, dude's been found guilty of nothing. He's done nothing wrong. Except love his country. Except believe in what you believe in. Except feel what you feel. And for that, he must be destroyed. Well, it was a good weekend for him. Some triumphs from the weekend. He sweeps up three GOP caucus victories before Super Tuesday tomorrow. Another series of electoral wins. We got Missouri, Michigan, and Idaho. And I'm watching North Dakota because North Dakota is today. And they are a very intriguing state. I'll tell you why in a minute. President Trump won Missouri's Republican caucus held in Clay County. 100% of the vote in all 114 of the state's counties. I want to tell you that again. See, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is not coming out saying, oh my gosh, did you guys hear that in fact the Republican Party isn't as divided as we say they are? Donald Trump swept Missouri. All counties, 114, got 100%. Instead, they want to tell you that Nikki Haley got 600 more votes in D.C., and that puts her on the map. Disingenuous and obvious. In fact, Missouri was such an immediate slaughter. The Associated Press called the race for Trump at 12:40 p.m. Eastern with only 5% of the total been counted. That means all 51 bound delegates from the state go to the Republican National Convention, will go to Donald Trump. Michigan. What's going on in Michigan? Big story. Another extremely strong showing for Trump. All 13 districts at stake in Grand Rapids, right? By roughly 3 o'clock Eastern time, the unofficial tally showed him way ahead of Nikki Haley in every single one with 100% of the vote in a few. Look, the New York Times can try to spin this as both men, Trump and Biden, are highly unpopular. It is wrong. That is a lie. Don't take my word for it. Certainly don't take the New York Times word for it. Look at how people are voting, how they're coming out. 100% of the vote in a few of those counties in Michigan. Once certified, these results mean all remaining 39 Michigan delegates will go to Trump. 12 of 16 delegates at stake in Michigan's primary late last month went to him. Remainder went to Nikki Haley. Let's talk about Idaho. You know, these are the places nobody pays attention to. We should pay attention to them. Do you know who's doing things right? Idaho, North Dakota. Trump's third big win of the day came from the Mountain West. He repeated a 2020 feat by winning Idaho's Republican presidential caucus, held in lieu of its primary after lawmakers canceled the event without rescheduling it. The Associated Press projection came in just before 7 p.m. Eastern, soon after the president took to the stage at a rally in Richmond, Virginia. 77% of the vote counted. Almost 85% of the Republican voters chose Donald Trump. 13.5% going for Nikki Haley. Don't tell me that she's got momentum. Don't tell me that there's a reason for her to stay in this other than the dark money. The dark figures, the swamp creatures who are desperate to do anything to try to derail Donald Trump. Now let's talk about D.C. and North Dakota. We know about D.C. This is interesting, what's going on today in North Dakota. Their primary. It's the only state without voter registration. Did you guys know this? No voter registration. But what do you have to do in North Dakota to vote? It is so novel. You guys ready? Because Merrick Garland at a church in Selma said yesterday that voter registration and all the efforts that we have to try to secure our elections, they're all racist. They're all unconstitutional. They're all discriminatory. So offensive. Another hack cabinet member of Joe Biden's. In North Dakota, you know what you got to do? You got to show your driver's license. I know, Brock. I heard you're gasping in there. Are you? I know. It's shocking.
That's shocking.
It is so crazy.
How do they get away with
it? I don't know. I was thinking the same thing. But
how do all those people get ID'd?
You know what? It's very. You can't expect people to go do that, can you? It's so racist what these folks on the left say. Beyond that, it's so insulting. And black voters know it. Hispanic voters know it. Young voters know it. It is brilliant. Brilliant, I say. So here in North Dakota, this is what you got to do. Got to show your driver's license. There are 29 delegates at play. The candidate needs at least 20% of the vote to win any delegates. If you get 60% or more, you sweep. You get all of them. So what do you do in North Dakota? Oh, you go and you vote in person. You vote in person using a paper ballot that is counted by hand. What?
How do they pull that off in one day?
I don't know. It's so weird how this works. So what's the state ready for? You had an absolutely lackluster showing of like 1,800 people voting in Washington, D.C. In North Dakota, they've printed out 30,000 paper ballots. They're ready to rock and roll. What's so hard about us doing that? Why can't we all do North Dakota? What's so difficult about this? It's not. And that is the point. So let's go. If there's Super Tuesday looming, the last few days, of course, merely the appetizer before the main course. I don't think this is going to be Nikki Haley's last stand because there are going to be people who keep propping her up. Though every single day that she stays in longer, she destroys any kind of political future she has. Personally, I think she's toast. So Republican caucuses and primaries tomorrow, Alaska, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, and Virginia. Democrats are going to have contests in all those states except Alaska, as well as in American Samoa. Out of the 2,429 Republican delegates to the RNC, 854 will be decided on Super Tuesday, about 35%. So now you're caught up with all of this stuff. And I want to talk, when we come back in just a moment from a short break, I want to talk to you about a very interesting article I had seen about Nikki Haley's self-destructive crusade to beat Donald Trump. Like, this is desperation time, right? She still thinks that she needs to stay in this. She is destroying herself as she picks up two of the worst endorsements in Congress. I've got that for you coming up next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Nikki Haley picks up two sucky endorsements, right? Wouldn't you just, if somebody like Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski wanted to endorse you, you'd be like, no. I don't think so. So Susan Collins has a 20% Liberty score at Conservative Review, meaning one out of every five votes that she makes is conservative based. Everything else sides with the liberals. Perfect. That's exactly what I want in a Republican representative. Get rid of her. Get rid of her. And what's Alaska doing? Lisa Murkowski, 29% Liberty score. Slightly better than sucky Susan Collins, but still absolutely awful. You've got to love this narrative, though. Found this headline on townhall.com. Nikki Haley's Super Tuesday spin is beyond ridiculous. You ready for this? Nikki Haley's going to get obliterated. We know this, all right? The Haley campaign has reached a point where these new media lines for her that they're pushing out are just so silly. She says now she wants a competitive showing. She's not trying to win. She just doesn't want to have her rear end handed to her. Well, that's not like the victory I'd be looking for. I want to make it competitive. I just don't want to look like a total clown. Well, I'm sorry, Nikki. I'm not so sure that's going to work for you. This is interesting as well. So many of these storylines that we talk about come from our good friends at CNN. This is CNN. GatewayPundit.com. Is this the end of the line for some CNN hosts? What? Anderson Cooper, Wolf Blitzer, other big names maybe on the chopping block. Who've they already gotten rid of? Don Lemming, right? Who's the Brian Stelter? Who else? There are others. Chris Cuomo, right? Oh my gosh. Is it breaking news? People are done with the suck. Is that maybe the headline that we should be talking about today? If only the media would tell the truth, right? I could be their consultant. I could give them that.
If these hosts get fired and there's no one to see them get fired, do they really get fired? No. It's the tree in the forest.
That's right. A new report claims multiple big names at CNN could be let go as the network puts financial stability over famous faces. Well, why ever are you having such a hard time? Because even among your base, they realize how much you lie and propagandize and one side and act as activists. What about the good old days, right? When you can tune in and get some facts. This is what we know. This is what we don't know. And break, right? You do with that what you will. No, not anymore. The report in Touch, whatever that is, says that Anderson Cooper, Chris Wallace, Wolf Blitzer, and Jake Tapper could all be axed as CEO Mark Thompson prepares a radical plan to cut costs. Why is Anderson Cooper making $20 million a year? Look, I'm a capitalist. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. But come on, man.
Are they really going to make these cuts, though?
I don't know.
Right before the election?
Well, so this is the story. And I think it's going to be they're going to limp towards the finish line towards November. And I think that's exactly right, Brock. I think they're going to go through. And then after the election, out comes the guillotine. Anderson knows he's on the chopping block because he makes a whopping $20 million a year. This is, quote, a source described as a network insider telling this publication called In Touch. I mean, who knows? I have no idea. Chris Wallace takes $8 million a year? I mean, what? What are you paying these people for? He figures he's a likely target as well, the source says. Nothing with $15 million for, noting rather, I should say, $15 million for Wilf Blitzer and $8 million for Jake Tapper. If I add that up, my rudimentary math tells me that's about $50 million. Just in those four dudes' salary. For what? For nobody to pay attention. Do you know there are days that this program, a self-syndicated program with a mom in front of the microphone, gets more listens and views on some days than CNN? I mean, come on. Everybody knows the focus is on cutting costs, the source said. No one is safe. We're seeing what I think is a very intriguing purge, right? We're seeing people realize that their votes, their dollars, their viewership, their time, it matters. And when you tune out, you shut down something that you used to support, whether it was just by paying attention or by giving your money and purchasing from them. I mean, think about the money that Anheuser-Busch lost last year, $1.4 billion, $3 million a day. And these people do not know how to stop doing what they're doing and pay attention, read the room, feel the barometer. We are simple people. It is not complicated. And yet, apparently, it is so. On Friday, Thompson, CNN CEO, sent a memo to staff about the, quote, changing economics of television. Nobody wants to be lied to anymore. I've got a newsflash for these folks. If they wanted me to come in as their consultant, I totally would. And I would put it up on a PowerPoint. I'd gather everybody into an auditorium or everybody into the studio. And I'd say, look, we're going to keep this super easy for you. And I'm going to put up this two big words on the screen. Don't lie. That is a great way to reclaim your integrity in this industry. Until then, you're going to continue to suck and you're going to continue to hemorrhage viewers. That's the story, ladies and gentlemen. All right, when we come back on this program, I want to talk about this border stuff, border lies. You know, I obviously, as I told you in the opening monologue, was racked by this little boy's video walking alone after making the trip wherever he came from across the southern border to be left and abandoned by himself, 10 years old. We need to dive into the lies that are being told every single day because it is not okay. It is not. And that's next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.